Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to iHeartRadio Communities, a public affairs special focusing on the biggest issues impacting you this week. Here's Ryan Gorman.
Thanks for joining us here on iHeartRadio Communities. I'm Ryan Gorman, and we have some important conversations lined up for you. In a moment, I'll talk to an official from the CDC about the latest, most up-to-date information on COVID-19 vaccines and booster shots. Then, for this Memorial Day weekend holiday, I'll be joined by the president and founder of the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, also known as TAPS. It's an organization that's been helping those grieving the death of a military loved one since 1994. Right now, to get things started, I'm joined by Dr. Ram Kapaka, Associate Director for the Adult Immunization Services Division in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kapaka, thank you so much for joining me. And the first thing I want to touch on is this new CDC recommendation for kids ages 5 to 11. The new advisory is for them to get booster doses of the COVID-19 vaccines. Can you explain the rationale and the science behind that decision?
Sure thing. And thank you for having me. The first thing I would say is that COVID-19 vaccination is our single best means of protecting all eligible children against serious illnesses and serious consequences of COVID-19 infection. We also have data that indicate that booster doses can provide enhanced protection for children that have had the primary recommended series of inoculations and can restore immunity that has waned. So as we grapple with new variants such as Omicron, making sure that our children have as strong protection against COVID-19 is really important. The other factor is that the overall vaccination rate in this age group, the children 5 to 11, is lower than in other components of the population. Just about a quarter of children in this age range are fully vaccinated, which leaves them vulnerable to those potentially severe outcomes of infection. And while children overall are at lower risk than adults, for example, for severe consequences of COVID-19. They can, in fact, get COVID-19. Some of them can have severe illness, and they can spread it to others. We have no way of telling which child is going to get mild or severe illness. So, you know, as the country continues to grapple with this pandemic, making sure that as many children as possible are fully vaccinated and have the strongest level of protection possible is important. It is our best way of protecting our children. And so really the rationale behind this booster recommendation is to make sure that children have the highest level of protection possible we continue to see transmission of COVID-19 within our communities.
Through all the variants that we saw during the course of the pandemic and still continue to see to this day, have any of the COVID-19 variants had a different type of impact on kids in particular?
I think that each individual strain of the virus is going to have, variability from child to child. But I think overall, what we're seeing is that the experience of children with this virus tends to be a bit less severe than in older populations, but that doesn't mean that all children, independent of which variant it is, are going to have mild illness. Some proportion of children with each one of these variants have the potential for getting severe illness, requiring emergency room visits or hospitalizations or even more serious consequences. And as I mentioned, we have no way of predicting. So I think, sort of the simple way to think about this is that regardless of which variant it may be, the best way we can protect our children right now is to get them fully vaccinated. And if they're eligible for a booster, make sure they get that booster as soon as possible.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Dr. Ram Kapaka, Associate Director for the Adult Immunization Services Division and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Zooming out now and taking a look at everyone who is eligible to receive a COVID-19 booster shot, can you break down who fits that eligibility criteria and also why it's so important for those who have been what one would consider fully vaccinated to get boosted as well? Boosters and eligibility, taking more of a broad look at this, who is eligible to receive a booster right now? And why is it important to get a COVID-19 booster if you're already fully vaccinated?
Sure. So, you know, there's two parts to that question. I'll take the first one first. So who's eligible? Right now, under current CDC recommendations, everyone ages 5 and older who's been fully vaccinated is eligible for a booster. And there's some variability with respect to age in terms of how long ago your last dose was as to whether it's time for a booster. So, for example, adults over the age of 50 who had their last dose 4 months ago or longer are now eligible for a second booster, for example. Similarly, children between the ages of 5 and 11 who were fully vaccinated and had their last dose 5 months ago or longer are now eligible for a booster. So, you know, rather than trying to sort through all of that and try to figure that out, CDC actually has a really useful and effective online tool. It's available on the CDC website at cdc.gov. It takes the user through a series of questions that include age, immune status, when the last dose was, you know, which vaccines were received, and then that the tool will actually tell the user, yes, you are recommended to have a booster. And the vaccines.gov website is a really convenient way to figure out exactly where you can get that booster shot. So, you know, I think the bottom line is everyone 5 and older is eligible for a booster. There's variability with respect to the timing. And the easiest way to figure whether you are eligible right now is to use the tool that's available on cdc.gov. Your second question is, why is it important to get a booster if you went through the effort months ago to get both doses and are considered fully vaccinated? And the issue there is that we have data that indicate that over time, the really excellent level of protection that the COVID-19 vaccines have provided in preventing serious illness across all age groups, that level of protection can begin to wane. It can begin to decrease the further out we get from the last dose. So by reviewing all of the available data from the different studies that are, you know, that have been ongoing over the course of the last year and a half or so, CDC bases its current recommendations on boosters on that idea that if you are a certain number of months after your last dose, in order to restore the level of protection and to actually really have the best protection that's possible, it may be time to get that booster. And by going to the tool that's available on cdc.gov, you can determine for yourself, based on your individual circumstances, whether that time is now.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Dr. Ram Kapaka, Associate Director for the Adult Immunization Services Division and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So just to make sure we're clear here, those who are considered fully vaccinated, meaning they received two shots of the Moderna vaccine, two shots of the Pfizer vaccine, or one shot of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it is recommended that those individuals each receive one booster shot of a COVID-19 vaccine.
That's correct. And, you know, we really recommend that individuals who received the single dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine, choose one of the mRNA vaccines, either the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, as their booster to really achieve that high level of protection.
And everyone who's over the age of five is now eligible to receive that booster shot, correct?
That is correct.
All right, now let's focus for a minute on the second booster shot that people have heard about. Who is eligible to receive that? When does that come into play?
Sure. The rationale is really quite similar. So the reason why, you know, last week there was a good amount of focus, understandably, on the new recommendation around boosters in children age 5 to 11 is because prior to that recommendation, there were no boosters recommended in children. In contrast, in adults, we had existing recommendations in place for adults to receive a first booster. And so what we're talking about now is that if that first booster, for example, in an adult over the age of 50, had their booster shot over 4 months ago, now is time to get a second booster. So we talk about a second booster as being in that group of people that were fully vaccinated, and then following that full vaccination several months ago, they received a booster dose as was recommended, and now it's been more than 4 months. It's time to get another booster to, again, bump that level of protection back up into a range that's going to prevent the more serious consequences of COVID infection.
Now, these variants that we continue to learn about, how do they impact the effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccines, the booster shots, and could new variants lead to the need for future additional booster shots?
So, you know, I often tell people that this pandemic has been sort of a quick course for the general public on lots of different things in immunology and in molecular genetics and epidemiology and so forth. And so what we've seen over the last year or two of experience with COVID-19 is that, like other viruses, as these viruses circulate, they mutate, they change, they evolve, they adapt to the circumstances. And as that adaptation occurs, we can have the emergence of different what we call different variants. And some of those variants may be more transmissible, easier to spread from person to person, and they emerge as an important component of what we see circulating in our communities. And that's the experience that we've had, and we've all, you know, watched it, witnessed it, experienced it with Delta and Omicron. And it really shows us that these viruses are constantly changing and adapting. We expect that new variants will continue to emerge over the coming months, and that some of these, like the ones that have come before it, may spread more easily and could lead to more cases. And so the way the public health system responds to that possibility is that CDC and other public health organizations have been monitoring, as they have really for the last 2 years, over 2 years, monitor very closely the types of viruses that are circulating and looking for the emergence of these new variants and determining through a variety of studies, are any of these more transmissible than what has come before? These organizations also are monitoring very closely the effectiveness of our current vaccine against these new variants that emerge. And up to this point, the assessment is that our current vaccines remain effective. They are our best defense against the, you know, the current viruses that are circulating. But as I mentioned, we're continually monitoring that. And as new variants evolve and emerge, those assessments of the effectiveness of our current vaccines will continue.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined now by Dr. Ram Kapaka, Associate Director for the Adult Immunization Services Division in the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I know one question on the minds of a lot of parents, especially those who have kids under the age of five: when will those children be eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine? What can you tell us about that?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right. So, you know, as a parent, I share that concern. We all want to provide the best protection to our children, particularly the youngest of our children. So, but it's also important to understand that the COVID vaccine has really undergone the most comprehensive assessment of effectiveness, the most comprehensive and sort of robust monitoring of safety in U.S. history, when you know, compare it with all the vaccines that have come before it. And that monitoring, that assessment is done through a series of studies, and those studies take time. And then as the results from those studies become available, we have a process that ensures that the public health system can make the very best and safest recommendation possible to protect all populations in the country. And so I can tell you that FDA just revised the dates of its upcoming advisory, the meetings of its advisory committee that will review available data for children, for vaccines for children under five. And on June 15th, FDA will discuss a request by Moderna to use its vaccine in children 6 months to 5 years, as well as the request by Pfizer for use of its vaccine in the 6 month to 4 year age group. So that panel will review the available evidence that was submitted by those two companies and the other available data and make a decision as to whether or not those vaccines should be authorized under an emergency use authorization for use in that youngest age group. If that happens, if the FDA panel makes that recommendation and FDA then decides to authorize use in those populations, then the next step is the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices will review those data as well as other available studies looking at the risks and potential benefits of vaccination in this population. And it's a very robust review. It's the same review that this ACIP advisory committee panel uses for every vaccine that's used in adults and children in the United States. And that panel will base a recommendation on that thorough review. And that recommendation will go to the director of CDC, who will make the final decision as to whether or not to recommend use of one or both of those vaccines in that youngest age group of children. Once the CDC director were she to make that decision and recommend its use, then those vaccines will be available and parents can schedule an appointment to get their young children vaccinated. So that's the process. It's been a long time coming, but the reason it's been a long time coming is, you know, we all want to make sure that when we make a recommendation, it's the best recommendation that science can support. And it's the best recommendation to keep, all Americans as safe as possible, particularly the youngest of our children.
Dr. Ram Kapaka, Associate Director for Adult Immunization in the Immunization Services Division at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, with some really great information for us on the COVID-19 vaccines and boosters. Dr. Kapaka, thank you so much for coming on the show and breaking all of that down for us. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, and thanks for your interest. And just want to advise people to go to cdc.gov, vaccines.gov, and learn much more about boosters and whether or not it's time to get yours.
All right. Thanks again, Dr. Kapaka. I'm Ryan Gorman here on iHeartRadio Communities. And joining me now, I have the president and founder of the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, also known as TAPS. Bonnie Carroll is here for this Memorial Day weekend show. Bonnie, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to come on the show. Everyone can find out more information about the great work this organization does at TAPS.org. That's TAPS.org. And Bonnie, let's start with how this organization originally came about.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much. I'm an Air Force Reserve officer, retired, and I'm also the surviving spouse of a soldier. My husband was killed in an Army plane crash, along with seven other soldiers. And at that time, that was back in the early 90s, I found that there was no national organization for all of us grieving the death of a military loved one. And that's kind of hard to believe. It just had never existed in our country. Since there were eight families affected by my husband's crash, we got together and we found that just being with each other was tremendously healing. To find out that we weren't alone in our grief and our loss. So out of that really grew now this wonderful national program. Over the past 28 years, TAPS has walked side by side with the military, with veterans, with all of the families who are suffering the loss of a loved one. We've got great programs to help families cope and heal. And this weekend for Memorial Day, we have our 28th annual National Military Survivor Seminar and Good Grief Camp for hundreds of families coming together to remember and honor their hero.
This Memorial Day holiday, you know, a lot of times people can get caught up in the start of summer and vacations. It's a long weekend, but talk to us about what this means to you, this holiday, what it means to your organization, and what it means to those in the TAPS community.
Well, Memorial Day is the time when America pauses to remember and honor the sacrifices made by our men and women in uniform. And regardless of how or where they died, their life included selfless service to this country. They stepped forward to commit to defend democracy. And for our families, it was a sacrifice they made as well with the loss of their loved one. So every year we gather our families over Memorial Day, but far more than that, we are together for 365 more days of the year, letting them know that they're not alone, giving them resources and support. And we provide fantastic programs, whether that's for the children, for our families who have lost a loved one to suicide in the military, for those who are caregivers to an ill veteran or service member before they died. So this is America's family of those who are honoring their hero this Memorial Day.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Bonnie Carroll, president and founder of the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, also known as TAPS. You can learn more at TAPS.org. That's TAPS.org. You know, fewer and fewer Americans either know somebody who have served, have served themselves, are dealing with the loss of a loved one who served and sacrificed everything for this country. The community that your organization brings together, the connections that those who have experienced that loss can gain through TAPS. Tell us a little bit about that and how important it is.
Oh, Ryan, it's incredibly important that the families of America's fallen heroes know that they are not alone, that their loved ones' lives are remembered and honored. A lot of people do think that there are fewer and fewer, but in fact, last year, we had more newly bereaved families of military and veteran loss come to us than ever before in our 28 years. We had 9,246 new surviving families who came to TAP seeking support and connection with others who are experiencing that same grief. So this is a growing family. You know, the war followed many of our service members home, and they are dying now by illness as a result of exposures to toxins or by suicide as a result of struggles with trauma. So we are there for the family, regardless of how that loss occurs, but honoring the life lived.
And what about the services and programs you provide for the children of those who have served and sacrificed everything for this country, making sure those kids are taken care of?
Well, TAPS has a wonderful program for youth, and that includes our Good Grief camps and family camps. One of the most magical parts of the Good Grief camp are the military mentors. We recruit and train service members and veterans to come alongside one-on-one a grieving child in a facilitated session at our camp. You know, and the friendships and relationships that form out of that last a lifetime. It's absolutely extraordinary. And sometimes I think our military mentors get as much, if not more, than the kids get out of this program. We have children now after 28 years that have grown up in the Good Grief Camp. We have children that graduate, they after age 18, they come back and they are now our legacy mentors to the new kids. So this weekend, we've got hundreds of kids, hundreds of military mentors. We've got our senior mentors and group leaders who are there facilitating sessions for each age group. And these kids are honoring their loved one. For some of them, they never knew their dad, their big brother, their mom who died in the military. They were just too young or they weren't even born yet. So for them, we're helping them establish that relationship. Transition from being maybe a military dependent to being a living legacy of American service and sacrifice. So that's what TAPS is all about. And thank you for encouraging your listeners to check out TAPS.org or follow us on social media at TAPS.org and learn more about what we're doing to care for the families of America's fallen heroes.
I'm Ryan Gorman, joined by Bonnie Carroll, president and founder of the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. What are some other programs and services that you provide that you find are very beneficial to those who come to your organization looking for help?
We have a wonderful casework team that helps families navigate complicated bureaucracies to fix things from maybe closing out the social media account of someone who has died or fixing a mistake on a headstone to accessing emergency financial assistance that we can make possible for that family. We also have a wonderful education program to make sure that all surviving military children get access to the federal, state waiver, and private scholarship benefits available for them to go to college. We have a 24/7 helpline that is answered around the clock 7 days a week by trained peer professionals, folks who understand because they are survivors themselves. And you know, whether it's 2 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning or Wednesday or Saturday, our folks are there and they're responding. The calls that we get, you know, during the afternoon might be about casework and benefits. The calls we get in the dark hours of the night are so often calls with families just struggling to cope, struggling to get through the night and questioning whether it's even worth making it to dawn. So it's so important that TAPS is there in every community in America, connecting our surviving families with the resources that exist in that local community, making all of the other support tools that we have available for them just readily accessible.
And I'm sure on this Memorial Day weekend, there are people listening right now learning about your organization and the invaluable work that you do, and they want to support TAPS. What are the different ways that people can do that?
Well, thank you for that. And TAPS is a nonprofit organization. We're a private charity, and we would love folks to support us, to understand that this is how we honor and care for those who have sacrificed everything for freedom. Everything we do is made possible because caring Americans understand and appreciate the sacrifices that have been made. So go to TAPS.org, and if you are compelled, please make a donation and help us do the work that we do. We also love having volunteers, and if any of your listeners are military or veteran, please sign up to be a Good Grief Camp mentor at a future event. Volunteer to work with our programs. We have lots of good things happening all across the country, and we'd love to see you come out and be right there with us. So lots of ways to get engaged, and we hope to hear from your listeners.
And again, the website is TAPS.org. That's TAPS.org. And for anyone listening right now who might be in need of some of the assistance that TAPS provides. Again, the number to call 24/7, let me give that out, 1-800-959-TAPS. That's 1-800-959-8277. Bonnie Carroll, president and founder of the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. She's a Presidential Medal of Freedom winner, a retired U.S. Air Force Reserve officer. Bonnie, thank you so much for, first of all, your service to this country and just the incredible work that you and your organization are doing for the families of those who served and sacrificed everything for our country.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing me this time to share our mission and honor our heroes.
Thank you again, Bonnie. It's absolutely my pleasure. And as we wrap things up, I do want to take a moment and honor and remember all of those who have served and sacrificed everything for this country on this Memorial Day weekend. I want to thank all of our guests and, of course, all of you for listening. I'm Ryan Gorman. We'll be back same time, same place next weekend. Stay safe.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.